When I look around, I see people of different ages sitting here. But there's one thing that you all have in common. For some of us, a long time ago, for others of us, not that long ago, we were born. We looked like that. Not exactly. If you're a boy, you might look a little different, but you looked like that. We look at Sadie, so beautiful, so pure, so innocent, so complete. It's hard to believe that inside that beautiful, serene-looking, angelic little baby, there is something that starts to surface as soon as the personality rises up. You can't believe it's the same child. That one child who could be born so perfect could turn into such a selfish little tyrant who has to get her own way or has to get his own way. And it doesn't matter who they oppose. You could be a 200-pound grown man. They don't care. You could have a PhD in philosophy or in science. They don't care. You could have a fat bank account. You could be driving around in a Mercedes Benz. They don't care who you are or what you have. They want their own way. Who has experienced in the shopping aisles? I don't know why this always happens when you go shopping, but in the shopping aisle sometimes a child just gets it into their head that they want something and they want it now. They want their own way. Look at that. As a mom or a dad, some of you haven't had children yet, this is waiting for you. It's coming. Be prepared and be ready. So, it's hard to believe that it's the same child that was so angelic and so beautiful and perfect that starts acting like this. And you know what? They don't even have to go to any courses to learn this behavior. They get to do this naturally. No one teaches them. Because this kind of behavior comes from the inside. This selfishness, this I have to get my own way, comes from the inside. It's the nature of us as human beings. We see it so clearly in two-year-olds or three-year-olds. When you get older, you kind of hide it a little bit, right? I mean, I don't see Mr. Fung like that on the floor in the shopping aisles. I don't go shopping with him, but I assume he doesn't do that, right? We get older and we get smarter and we know we can't act like that. But inside, sometimes we still feel like that, right? That's the human condition. That's who we are. And that is what Paul talks about when he refers to the old man. The new creation has come. There's been a change, but this is the old man. The old man or the old woman is the person who lives for self, who sins and enjoys sinning. That's who that person is. Selfish to the core. Well, let us read today's passage. Paul writes, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Let us pray. Lord God, if we can truly understand what Paul is saying, if we can truly appreciate the magnitude of Paul's instruction in this passage, I believe everything in our lives will change. I pray, Lord, that this morning that You would make this clear to us. I pray that You would use me, and through Your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, that You would teach us this morning. I ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Paul talks about the old person or the old life, and he talks about the new person and the new life. And what gets us from the old life to the new life is the gospel. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes to the Corinthians about the gospel, and he says this. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12." And then Paul goes on to the other people that Christ appeared to after His resurrection. But these three things, this is the core of the gospel right here, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That is what we have believed, and that is what has empowered us to move from the old life to the new life. Now, I'm also a visual person, and sometimes I have to draw things out because when I map them out, I can understand them better. So, I did a drawing for us of what I think the gospel means. We have the kingdom of heaven and we have the kingdom of earth. And you can see the yellow line there is dividing the two. Jesus Christ was in the kingdom of heaven. And then when the time came, when it was the appointed time, He became flesh and became a human being in the kingdom of earth. Jesus was raised in Nazareth, a human being like you and me. But it was appointed for Him to die for the sins of the world. And so He went to the cross and He died for us. After he died on the cross, he was buried and he was placed in the grave. After he was buried, he was raised to life again. After he was raised, Jesus ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. This, in a nutshell, is the background of what Paul's talking about. Jesus who came, who died, who was buried, and was raised again. He died, was buried, and he was raised. The gospel, as Paul so clearly sets it out. Now let me recap from last week, because this is the foundation for the argument Paul makes today. Last week Paul said this. He said, "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." Now what does that look like in a visual? So I try to put that together. Dying, buried, and raised with Christ. And it's going to look like this. This is the gospel. And here is a Colossian person walking around on earth, being a Colossian, in Colossians, doing Colossian things. But at some point, this person becomes a believer. And so by faith, this person then is linked to the death of Christ. Not only to the death of Christ, but to the burial, to Christ being buried, and then to Christ being raised. So when Paul writes this and he says that in him you were circumcised by the putting off the body of the flesh, that's dying, having been buried with him in baptism, that's being buried, in which you were also raised with him through faith. So, by faith, we are connected to Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. We didn't physically die with him, but by faith, because our union with Christ, because we are in Christ. This is the phrase that Paul uses most of all in the New Testament, this phrase, in Christ. We are in Christ by faith. And because we are in Christ, therefore by faith we have died with him, we have been buried with him, and we have been raised with him. That is the foundation that Paul's laying here for us. Now what this means is, it means that because we are in Christ, because we are in union with Christ, then when Christ ascends to heaven, it means by faith we are also ascending with Christ to heaven. In Ephesians he says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Now, you can see that the Colossian is still walking around on earth, right? The Colossian hasn't gone to heaven, he's still in Colossae doing Colossian things, thinking Colossian thoughts. But a part of that Colossian is with Christ. Because there was a union with Christ. And so when Christ ascended, therefore a part of that person ascends with Christ. So, even though that person walks on earth, there is something about that person that's already with Christ in the heavenlies. If we can get this, if we can really understand, really believe this, I think it will change our lives. I think this is profound. Well, now Paul comes to chapter 3, verse 1, and he says, "Now, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. Because of this reality, because you are united with Christ, because Christ is seated in the heavenlies, therefore set your sights on those realities. That is your future. That is where you, what you are waiting for, what you are hoping for, what you are living for. And you have already a deposit into that future. It's like a seed that has already been sown on your behalf. Part of your life has already been sown in that future, in that heavenly realm. And that will become visible at a later stage. Right now it is hidden. So when people walk around, they don't see you as a heavenly person. They might see you as a normal person, but they don't realize that part of you is hidden with Christ. You yourself don't see that. You yourself walk as if by sight and not by faith. And you walk around and you just see the world around you, but part of you is hidden with Christ. That is our hope. That is our sure hope and foundation. Nothing can shake that. Nothing can take that away. Moth and rust don't get there. No one, thieves don't break in and steal that away from you. That is your sure hope that you have. But there's going to come a day, and this is what I'm trying to illustrate here. Even though you're walking around on earth now and you've got that connection by faith to Christ, that part of you is already there, that you already have a deposit in the heavenlies, there's going to come a day when Christ is going to come back to earth, visibly, where everyone will see Him, every eye will see Him. And He will come back not the same way that He came the first time, as a baby being born. When He comes back as a conquering king, to take His rightful place. That is when Christ is revealed. And when that happens, guess what? We will be revealed with Christ. Because why? Because we are in union with Christ. We have died with Him. We've been buried with Him. We've been raised with Him. We are in union with Christ. No one can take us out of His hand. When He is revealed, we will be revealed. And it won't just be by faith. That which is hidden will become open. And everyone will see that. That is the day that we are waiting for, brothers and sisters. That day is coming for us. Therefore, because of this, Paul says now, so he says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. But you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. You see, this is what we need to do because of our position in Christ, because of our new situation, because we've become new people. We're not just Colossians walking in Colossian, thinking Colossian thoughts. No, we are walking in this on this earthly kingdom, but part of us is with Christ in the heavenlies. We are new. It used to be just us being selfish, living for ourselves, being like that 2-year-old with a throwing the tantrum. That used to be us. But now we are united with Christ. We've become new. Because we have with Him in His death, burial and resurrection. This has been done. This is past tense. When we are Christians, we have a new identity. So Paul says, because of these things, get rid of these sins. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, anger and rage, malice and slander, filthy or abusive language, and lying to each other. Now, some of us might think that we don't do all that stuff. But you know what? When that baby was born and that baby looked beautiful, there was something hidden inside. There was something lurking inside which would only manifest at a later stage. And it's the same for us. There's sin lurking inside of us. It doesn't manifest every day. But there comes moments in time when the sin starts to manifest. And we see it. So let us pray like David prayed and say, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked deed in me." Paul is urging the Colossians, and I think he's urging us today, to do this. Get rid of this stuff because this is no longer us. Now, what's very, very interesting is that when you're a baby and you eat, it probably looks something like that. Not because the baby is evil or bad. It's just the nature of the way that, and the kind of way that they eat, right? It could look like something like that. And that's okay if you're that age and you don't know better. But if you're all grown up and you try and eat the same way, it just is not okay anymore. For us, as believers, growing up in Christ, we can't go back and do the same things we did. It is just wrong on so many levels. Brothers and sisters, when we as believers do these things, these sins that Paul's talking about, we are showing a complete disregard for what Christ has done for us. We are showing complete ignorance of what is expected from us. And Paul is urging the Colossians to grow in their knowledge of Christ, to set their minds on the heavenlies, into what Christ desires and what Christ wants, what pleases Him. Because when we think about Him and about what is good and what is right and what is pleasing, then we don't do these sinful things down here. Our eyes are not on these sinful things. But your eyes are going to be somewhere. They're either going to be on these sinful things around you, or they're going to be up there with Christ. The challenge for you and I is to live into the new creation that we are. Let us not go back. Let us not live like we did before, selfishly, throwing tantrums like 2- and 3-year-olds. Let us pray. Father God, we are so thankful for the Apostle Paul and for his teaching. And we are so thankful that we can be united with Christ in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that for us, it will be so real to know that we are united with Him as He sits in the heavenlies. It will be so real, Lord, that that is part of us who has become new. And Lord, I pray that we can get rid of these sins that hold us back, that squeeze the life out of us, that entangle us, and that lead to death. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would motivate us, that You would strengthen us, and You would call us to live in a different way and to break with the past. Pray this In Jesus' holy name. Amen.